Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. Blake, we're on 152 already. A lot of episodes as we prepare for another NHL season, and lots to talk about in this since our off season is finally over.
Right. Yeah. No. Trying something new, Facebook Live, and some live episodes. So hopefully that goes good.
Yeah. You know, it's something different we wanted to try this year and do it on all the episodes. And we're gonna try to do most of our episodes on Monday nights at 9 o'clock Central, and maybe a couple, you know, changes maybe because of different life things. If Blake's got a hockey game he's got to do, or I got something, but for the most part, we're gonna shoot for at least 90% of them on Monday nights at 9 o'clock Central, so all of our listeners can join in then, or catch us on YouTube or Apple Podcasts, all the platforms actually. As we release this the following day, Blake, we're in season four already. Can you believe that? It has come to four seasons already.
Yeah, how did it start? We were doing
25 minutes.
Oros.
Yeah, we were doing play-by-play together, and we argued a lot.
We debated hockey so much. We're like, hey, we should start a podcast. And then I remember I actually listened back to our first ever podcast, and it was like an awkward 24 minutes long. It's like now we've like, just talk for an hour long each episode. We got good chemistry on the mic, and it's been good.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's a way to, you know, vent your hockey opinions and talk and get to know other people. And it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it over the 4 years. It's crazy how quick 4 years have gone and how it's changed from, you know, a 20-minute podcast to, you know, usually in – ironically, an hour and 7 minute video that we do now. So it's changed a lot. Speaking of changes, we had a couple of changes over the off season. Inside Edge Hockey News has now been changed to Inside Edge Hockey Media Group, a brand new website there. Check that out at InsideEdgeHockeyMediaGroup.com. We've also updated the Twitter, Facebook, YouTube pages, and now we have a website just for the podcast. Get all the old episodes, download, watch the live one on there. That's at debatehockey.com. So lots of changes over the offseason. That's how we spent our time as we did limited shows during the offseason. Next offseason, I want to do a little bit more, but we'll see. Blake, how was your offseason?
No, it was good. I landed a job in BC with the BCHL. I'm in Salmon Arm, British Columbia right now, working for the Silverbacks. Was lucky enough to land a job doing play-by-play, running their social media, graphics. Pretty cool gig up here. We're in preseason right now. We played three games. We're 2-1 so far, so I'm excited to get started for real, start of October. But yeah, I'm super excited to be on BC. Big Canucks fan. Always wanted to live out west, and to be doing it now, it's awesome.
That's awesome. Beautiful area out there. I loved it when I was out there, and you're living in a beautiful part of the country.
I pitch myself every morning I wake up. I mean, you drive up the hill and it's just mountains. It's actually pretty crazy.
Speaking of mountains. I was watching the first Canucks practice, and it looked like OEL was skating up a mountain. Did you happen to see that?
Yeah, I mean,
Travis
Green's bag skate is, it's a different animal. I mean,
he was dead last by a mile, Blake.
Petey puked in his first, for his first skate. I think Garland puked. I mean, a lot of first timers don't do very good with that skate. I know JT Miller struggled with it last year, but yeah, it's a tough skate. But I don't think you can really judge on one bag skate. But I mean, Vancouver media sure ran with that.
Yeah, I gave someone in Vancouver to start freaking out right away. Like that fan base freaks out all the time.
Oh, Rekma Larson did a interview today, and
was he still winded?
They asked him about it, and he goes, "Yeah, the first thing the guys told me when I came here is stay off Twitter." That's how you know media is pretty bad. Oof. When you got some players saying that.
Look like me out there skating is what it looked like, Blake.
Yeah, I mean,
ugly.
That was towards the end of the skate, though, that they got that video.
So. I know. Speaking of, you know, your Blue Jays, what's going on with your Blue Jays now? Like, well, you just split with the Minnesota Twins, one of the worst teams in the American League. Are the wheels falling off here or what?
That was a golden opportunity to, you know, gain some games, but they did end up winning the last two of that series. They got a huge series against the Yankees coming up. They're two back of the Yankees, one back of the Red Sox. Yeah, you basically got to take two or three versus New York and sweep the Orioles. So, my math says that, they got to go 5-1 in their next six.
You think 5-1, huh?
And 5-1 or 4-2 if Tampa Bay, like, you have to win the series against Yankees. You have to at least win two or three.
Yep.
Sweep would be perfect. I mean, if they sweep them, they'd be one up on them in the wild card heading into the Baltimore series. But if you take two or three and sweep Baltimore, at least you give yourself a fighting chance, because after the Yankees play the Blue Jays, they go to Tampa Bay. So they got a tough schedule to close up the year too. So I don't know what's going to happen. It would have been nice to take three or four for Minnesota to give them a little bit more cushion to work with. But I mean, they're where you want to be, right? In the playoff race last week of the season, can't get much better than that.
Well, the playoffs basically start now for the Jays. In my mind, I mean,
the playoffs have been starting for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is a three-game.
So
absolutely. Well, this is my favorite time of year, as you know. The weather is getting a little cooler, even though it was 90 degrees here today, and people are still golfing and everything, which is good because I'm going to get out this week again too. But the weather's getting cooler at night, and it means NHL hockey. It also means playoff baseball, which I know you love. But the beginning of the year is my favorite time of year. The October hockey is the very best. Every franchise has so much anticipation and stuff, and it's just so much fun to get back. I know a lot of people say the start of the playoffs is the best, but I don't know. I love this time of year, and it's fun to have the show back up and running. And lots to talk about on today's show as we talk about.
You got an Avalanche shirt on? What are you wearing there?
I got an Avalanche Stadium Series shirt on, Detroit NHL Stadium Series shirt.
Nice.
So today on the show, we're going to talk about the Wild risk in Minnesota signing Kaprizov. And then we'll talk about the three big RFAs. Will they ever sign? Are these guys, what's going on here? Are these guys going to sign or what? Then we'll go around the league, talk about U.S. television troubles, Kotkaniemi offer sheet, the Kraken, cross-checking, and the unmentionables. All right, Blake, Minnesota Wild.
Yep. You
know, they were, I don't know, I shouldn't. They were struggling cap-wise prior to them signing the Wild signing. I mean, 5 years, $9 million per year for Kirill Kaprizov. Is that out of this world to you as it is me? I can't believe that he got $9 million.
Well, I'll tell you what. They really had no choice.
Yeah, they did. They had the leverage, Blake.
They didn't. They had no leverage.
Yes. Don't play then.
You want to bet that he didn't have a deal to go to the KHL?
Go.
I will promise you he had a deal in his back pocket to go to the KHL.
Go.
And get what he wanted in the NHL.
Go.
Okay. Well, the Minnesota Wild, what message did that send to your fans? This kid just came in, lit the league on fire, and now you're going to let him walk to the KHL because you don't want to pay the guy?
Okay, so now next, though. Now, think about this, though, Blake. What happens?
I'm not saying it's not a risky signing. Like that's a lot of money to give to a guy who just played a shortened season. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but I mean, he's their face of the franchise now. So, I mean, maybe he's not worth $9 million in the first 2 years of his deal, but I mean, yeah, I think he's going to play into that contract.
But what do you do here though, Blake? Cause now you're going to have the recapture money of Parisi, and Suter. And This team is going to be literally so cap crunched. Are they going to be able to field the roster around him to be successful? The part that blows mind.
That's a million-dollar question. I don't know that answer. But, I mean, you look what's going on in Vancouver right now. The fans are on edge. We're going to talk about this later. But, I mean, Minnesota fans were the same way when we signed Kaprizov. When's this deal getting done? You had to sign. You had no choice.
But you got
to
remember, though, fans aren't always the smartest, though. Like, a lot of times we'll live for the now, but we got to think – the future, because now next year these same fans are going to be like, well, we need more guys with him, like, but we have no cap space. So then what? And do we really know if this guy's a proven top-end NHLer? I mean, he's being paid as a top-end.
And they got to pay Kevin Fiala next year, too.
Exactly. How does this happen?
Victor Rask is coming off the books, his $4 million. Let's see here. What else we got here? Goligoski's $5 million is off the books. Not much coming off the books, but, I mean, they got
and then the recapture fee comes back.
They got their – yeah, I know, obviously, yeah. You're paying Parise and Suter 4.7 combined, and then the 3 years after that, 12.7, 14.7, and 14.7. So, definitely not ideal. But like, I don't even think they can get this deal done if they don't buy out Parise and Suter. I don't think they have the cap to get it done.
And I don't think maybe it was a wrong choice to buy them out. Maybe both of them might have been, but I don't know. I look at this and he's now the 18th highest paid forward in the NHL.
Yeah, and It's going to be a lot of added pressure to him early because, I mean, he's going to be expected to produce like a top 20 scorer in the league. So we'll see what this kid does, with this new contract. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he's a really dynamic player. He's a game breaker. And I think this is going to be a good deal for the Wild, you know, throughout the 5 years. Like, I don't think this contract is going to age poorly.
Well, I mean, originally the talk in Minnesota was that the Wild wanted to sign at least a 7 or 8 year deal at 8.5 to 9, which I thought, holy cow! Like I was thinking, like a 7 year deal at $6 million. And when I heard that Kirill was just dead set on 9, I thought, well, this guy's not. And if they get this, then I mean, they're gonna. He's going to have a lot to live up to.
It's wild, though, to go that much dollars and not get the term. Like, if you go 9, you want to at least get 6 or 7 years. You don't really see 8-year deals anymore, but, I mean, they settle in the middle at 5, and, I mean, I think both parties are happy. I mean, Kirill Kaprizov got what he wanted, and Minnesota got their guy locked up. So, I think it'll be a good deal for both sides.
Oof, I don't know. I will give it the fact that, you know, he's probably the most dynamic player in Minnesota since Marian Gabrick.
I think he's more dynamic than Gabrick, honestly.
And I do too. Although, if you ask me, you know what though, Blake? I don't disagree with what you're saying there. But you know what? I look back and the NHL player, and I think of who is one of the best skaters I've seen live, and it would be Marian Gabrick.
Yeah, Gabrick had the speed, but Kirill Kaprizov's got, I think
more
he's got
moves.
Better vision, I think he's got a better shot. He's obviously got to prove it, 100%.
It's going to be interesting. He's only 5'9". I don't know.
He's so shifty, though. Like, he's hard to hit. He's slippery out there.
I know.
Like it'll be interesting for sure.
But, Blake, if I would have told you that if a guy who's played 1 year in the league who was not quite, you close, but not quite a point-a-game player, would get $9 million, would you have said?
Okay, well, you're basing that off a 56-game season. Like, I believe he would have been over a point a game if he played a full 82, though.
Why? What makes you say that? He wasn't on a 55. What makes you think that?
I don't know. Just gut feeling. I think.
You have no basis for that. I mean.
I just think that he would have. I don't think he would have fallen off if it was a full season. Like, I think he would have kept the pace.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he's probably the best player to ever wear a Minnesota Wild jersey.
You think so?
Maybe not the best, but definitely the most dynamic, that's for sure.
That's a freaking... Then Minnesota's really been garbage. Because that's a pretty bold statement to say.
Okay, well, who would have been better besides Gabrick? Not Mikko Koivu. Not Parise.
No.
Like,
you're probably right. I mean,
I can't name anybody.
I still that. Yeah, man. This guy is gonna have so much pressure on him now.
Yeah, he will, and he's either gonna live up to the contract, or it's gonna be a horrible contract. It's just going two ways.
I don't know. Speaking of horrible contracts. We're going to talk about something I know that's probably a hot spot for you. There's three unsigned RFAs right now in the league that stand out, I guess. And all three of them are from Canadian markets, two of them from Vancouver, one from Ottawa, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, and Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Where are we at with these? Let's talk about them each individually first. And let's start with Brady Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this whole holdout? And how long does a Brady Tkachuk one go?
Holdup is for Ottawa. I'm not sure why they're not just paying this guy what he wants for a long-term deal. Like, this guys like Brady Tkachuk do not grow on trees. Like, they have $23 million cap space. Like,
yeah, but they have to start paying the other. They have a lot of young prospects they're going to have to start paying here in the next 2 years.
Okay, but Tim Stützle's not up for 2 years.
Okay.
So 2 years.
But if you give Brady Tkachuk too much money, then you're not going to be able to afford those guys.
They have $23 million cap.
You still have to sign other guys, Blake. You need a team around them.
Next season, they have $40 million cap. Like, I don't know what the holdup is.
Well, so how much would you give them?
I give them... Eight and a half?
Oh, my God.
On a long-term deal? Yes. 100%. This guy's gifted. He does it all. You want him to fight? He can fight. You want him to score 30 goals? He's going to score 30 goals this year.
Okay, so then what are you going to get? You're going to give a winger $8.5 million, $9 million. So yeah. How much is Pettersson getting? 10?
I don't know what the comparable is for Pettersson.
Top line center. That's what the comparable is, Blake.
I would look at maybe the Rantanen contract, which was 6 years, I think, at 9.25.
Yeah. So you're good with that, huh?
That range.
You're good with 9+.
Yeah, I think he's going to be somewhere in the 8.5 to 9 range. If that's like, what do you think?
Do I think he's worth it? Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I think centers are more important than wingers. I like right. Brady Tkachuk better. I do. Because he's a bigger, stronger guy. But you can't find centers like you can find wingers. Right. So that you know, pushes the envelope on Pettersson. Do I think right. Pettersson is... A top line. He's a first line winger on 70% of the teams in the National Hockey League.
Right.
So that would mean he's a top 10 center in the league. Well, if I was a Canucks fan, I would love to see $8 million for 7 years, whatever. But if he was sitting there saying, I want 9.75, I mean, really, could you argue with him? when you're looking at comparables, I mean, and I think if the Canucks have to pay that, they're freaking screwed next year.
Well, I mean, did you see the news on Hamonic today?
I did see that. I was going to talk about it later, but let's talk about it now.
So Travis Hamonic might be opting out of the season.
Out of his career.
I mean, he's talking about maybe opting out of the season or retiring. I just said that like because it would definitely affect Hughes and Pedersen's contracts because it would free up $3 million, but it would also leave a hole on that back end.
It would also hurt your back end bad, and already weak defense.
I just like what changed from when you signed a 2-year deal and now. Like I don't understand that timeline. That
you signed
a 2-year deal and now all of a sudden you're contemplating retirement. That doesn't make sense to me.
I love Travis Hamonic. I loved him in Calgary. I loved him on the island. I love Travis Hamonic. When he did not play for the Flames, it made no sense for me. The safest point in the world at that time was the bubble.
Right. Yeah.
And he opted out of that.
I don't understand the timeline. If something is
and now he doesn't want to take the vaccine, which I have all the respect for that. That's fine.
Is that what I didn't hear if it was anti-vax.
That's what I heard. And he's not an anti-vax. He's like I am. I'm not anti-vax at all. I'm just like let it be my choice.
Right.
I mean, because if I have the vaccine, if I don't have the vaccine, and you have the vaccine, you shouldn't be worried about me because you have the vaccine.
Right.
So just let it be people's choice. And so I respect Hamonic in that thing, that aspect. But for him to retire over it, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't, like you said, why, what changed?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he signed a 2-year deal in July, and now we're in September in training camp, and now we hear they might be retiring. Like, I don't, if something happened in his family or whatnot, we don't obviously don't know the whole situation, but I mean, if he does retire,
it's his prerogative. I mean, and you know what? If he retires, I'll respect the hell out of that because I know I know what kind of guy Travis Hamonic is, and he's a family man, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Now I don't know that if it makes sense the reason he's retiring, but he obviously, if he's making that decision because of this, then he's ready to retire, and that's fine, and that's fine. That leaves a huge hole in Vancouver though on the back end.
So I mean, Hamonic retires or doesn't play this year, and you sign Hughes and Pedersen. I'll use you on the back end with Hughes, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You got Myers. You got Poolman. Cool. And I think Jack Rathbone's had a really good camp.
I like Poolman too. I like.
Is Poolman your? Is that Hughes' partner? Yeah. Now you're stuck with an OEL Myers pairing on your second pairing. I don't know. Okay, so you free up the money for Hughes. You give an extra $3 million to the pool of money to put towards those two. But you still have to fill that spot, though.
Hamonic. You have to fill that spot. You have to use that money to fill that spot, don't you? Or part of it. You have to use at least a million of it.
They have Luke Shen. You sign him as a depth D-man. Like, he's a solid sixth guy, I think. Like, I think Luke Shen, like, he's... should not be playing top 4 minutes, but could he be a capable third pairing guy to play with Rathbone? I think so.
I mean, I think he has the potential, but we shouldn't be sitting here wondering that.
If
you're safe.
Okay, if Hamonic retires or doesn't play, it's time for Tyler Myers to play better.
He had to play better last year, Blake. Are you giving shit?
Analytically, like I said, he wasn't that bad.
I know you always pull this analytically thing. How many nights did you want to whip your remote at him? How many nights did you want to throw the remote at the TV?
I'm a big eye test guy, and eye test tells me that
he sucks.
Tyler Myers is not very good.
I know. Same with me. That's the way I am. I'm eye test guy. Like,
but
I don't know. But so
okay,
let's.
Okay, so going back to Pedersen Hughes.
Yes.
I think Hughes. If there was one guy I'd go long-term with, I'd probably go with Hughes.
You would, over Pedersen, huh?
Yeah, I think I would go long term with Hughes because defensemen like that aren't, you just can't find those guys anymore. I mean, like, fast skating defenseman, dynamic, like, there's not many defensemen that can skate like Quinn Hughes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like you said, centers are hard to come by, and Pettersson is a skilled player, very skilled player, but. Yeah, I think that as preseason goes on, I think the temperature is going to heat up in these contracts. And I think, there's going to be a lot of pressure on both sides to get this deal done before the season starts, because you don't want Pettersson and Hughes at the Michigan Wolverines college football game. You want those guys in camp. You want them getting ready for the season. Like I don't want to say it's caused a distraction, but it kind of has. I mean,
Even when you say it does, it's not gonna. I mean, you're missing two key cogs.
Those two players, like the guys on the team, follow Pettersson and Hughes on Instagram and whatever, whatnot, Twitter. They're posting pictures at the football game. If you're on the team, you're like, hey, like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, what's the deal here? Honestly, if I was Bo Horvat, I would go up to Jim Benning and be like, hey, what is going on here? Like, well, we need these guys at camp, and we need these guys signed.
But you can't overpay them, though, Blake, though. That's the thing. That's the tricky thing. And Jim Benning, I know everybody in Vancouver wants to, you know, hang him over the bridge right now, but you're going to hang him over the bridge if he gives him too much money, though, too. Like, yeah. what if he's in a really crappy spot right now? Because we don't know. What if Hughes and Pettersson are like...
Jim Benning made this bad, though.
By what, having two good prospects?
No, by signing all those bad contracts.
So, yeah, but those are completely irrelevant to signing these two. So just because, wouldn't have signed them bad contracts, he'd be like, oh, well, I'll just give the farm to these two guys. No, you can't sign more bad contracts. I mean, really, what do you think they're worth? What do you think? What do you think they're worth?
Like I said, I give Pettersson 8.5 to.
For how many years? How many years? You give him 8.5 for how many years?
6 years.
Okay. And you'd give how much to Hughes?
Well, I mean, okay, so you look at the Makar deal. Makar got... Did he get an 8-year deal?
I think so.
Let me look.
But Makar's way better than Hughes.
Hold on.
He's a point-a-game defenseman in his second year.
Makar just got...
Freak of nature.
He signed a 6-year deal.
Makarzo, 6 years?
I think. Yeah, 6 years, 54 mil. Because he's getting 9 a year, okay?
Okay.
And then you look at...
So Hughes shouldn't get 9 a year.
You look at a contract that Rasmus Dahlin just signed at Buffalo.
6 years.
3 years. Six million. So I look at those two and say, okay, Hughes is somewhere in the middle there. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yes.
So you're looking at $7.5 to $8 million for Hughes.
I would not give Hughes more than 7.
Yeah, I think like 7 times 6.
Yeah. But why do I know nothing of this. Why do I feel like he's asking for 9?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any inside information, obviously.
Of those three, let me ask you this question. And we're only going on speculation and gut. Of those three, which one do you think is asking for the biggest money?
Probably Tkachuk.
That's what I would say, too.
Because he's the face of the franchise there, and they're going to give him what he wants eventually.
Who?
I mean, you see the comments of his brother Matthew Tkachuk and said they're nowhere close. I mean, if I'm Ottawa, I'm a little pissed off.
Who cares?
But I mean, it is what it is. They're eventually going to pay him. I don't think if I was an Ottawa fan, I wouldn't be too worried about him being signed before the season starts.
You don't think so? You think he's the most likely to be signed first? Do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't.
I don't know.
I think he gets signed.
I honestly think they all sign before.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think. Because players don't want to miss games.
No, they don't, but they do. I mean, look at Nylander.
I just don't see Pettersson, Hughes, and Tkachuk like as the holding out type players. Like I don't like for the season. Training camp's a different thing.
No, I don't think they'll hold out for the season.
Missing regular season games, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So
I don't know. It's a screwy deal. Like, I don't know what to think. I hate holdouts. I hate it for the franchise. I hate it for the fan base. But, like, I understand it for the players.
But if you're Patterson Hughes, you're looking at, like, okay, like, we're the best players on the team. Pay us rightfully.
So, sure.
And in Kachuk's case, you're the face of the franchise there. So, I don't know. Tough spot to be in for these two GMs.
I can't wait to talk to you the day it happens because I got a feeling we'll see a text here soon. And, it'll get figured out. I don't know. I just don't know where I'm surprised they haven't got figured out, number one, and I can't imagine what the ask is that's dragging this out so long.
Let me look at Vancouver's cap here. So they have,
what do they have, like 18? I thought they had 18.
They have 13.7 right now.
Really?
But that doesn't include Michael Ferland's LTIR.
Which is how much?
13.5. So they got 18, they got 17.3 million to sign. Plus the $3 million if Hamonic opts out. So you're looking at 20.7.
Yeah, you can't hope Hamonic retires for this because you need him.
No, but I'm just saying that's a legit possibility now, I think.
Yeah.
Because if Hamonic didn't opt out of the bubble, I would have been like, oh yeah, I don't think he's going to opt out, but like he has a history of doing this. So I don't know. That actually, like, as a
fan, why would he sign that contract?
Yeah, it just pisses me off, like, as a fan. Like, why were we signing this guy if he was thinking about doing that? Like, I don't know. Like I said, what changed? I'm not sure.
I don't know either. All right, Blake, time to go around the National Hockey League. All right. NHL television in the U.S., and I know this, you're going to be like, what are you talking about? Because you're not dealing with it. And that's why I wanted to talk about this in the show today. Because I don't know all the facts on this right now. I'm trying to figure them out. I've made some phone calls to try to figure this out. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of what's going on because you don't know. NHL TV no longer exists in the U.S. So your one-stop hop where you paid your $150 or $180, I can't remember what it was, and you got on and watched all the NHL games, is no longer.
Right.
Now, out-of-market games are going to be played on ESPN+, which I pulled up ESPN+, and there's, like, the Canucks-Kraken game was on last night. There's nothing tonight. There's two games tomorrow night. You know, there's a few preseason games, but I want to know, and if I think all the fans in the U.S. want to know, if I turn on ESPN Plus on a Tuesday night during the National Hockey League, am I going to get the option to watch every single game?
Yeah, that's weird that they pulled that NHL live.
So, I mean, I can't imagine that the NHL would pull it and the revenue from it unless ESPN is saying they're going to cover it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like all the games are on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is going to be the case. Because I don't think the NHL would have done that. I mean,
here's my worry. So you're going to have, you know, premium games on ABC, premium games on ESPN and ESPN 2.
NBC.
ABC.
Oh, ABC, sorry, yeah. Yeah.
Premium games on Turner Sports. They're doing like 50 some games. And then the rest is what people are worried about. Because what if you're let's put it from my perspective. What if you're a Calgary Flames fan living in the States? Are they going to have the Canadian market games on?
Yeah,
that's the question I've yet to be answered.
Right.
Although I see Vancouver's game on last night, which was a Canadian game. You know, so there, I can't imagine the league would go backwards.
How about this, though? Vancouver is playing Seattle in Seattle's first ever game.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't in Seattle, though.
Not on a single TV station.
It was in the States. It was on ESPN, too. Okay, but no, it was on ESPN Plus.
In Canada. How is that not on?
It was played in frickin' Spokane. It wasn't played in their arena. They didn't have the setup for it. It was played in Spokane.
Okay. So you're telling me you can't take a U.S. feed and put it on Sportsnet? They do it all the time, Brad.
I know they do. I'm just saying
it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense to me either. Well, does it make any sense?
First ever game that should be. If you're NHL, it's gonna be glued. That should be glued to TVs.
I mean, it was preseason, but in Calgary Edmonton last night wasn't on Sportsnet.
Yeah, but they're going to fucking do the blue and white Leafs game on Sportsnet 1. What?
I know. Well, in the States, we had on ESPN, we had the freaking New York Fire Department playing the New York police officers last week.
I know.
I don't understand. Like, I don't get it, man.
Like Seattle's first preseason games, and on ESPN, we got darts. That's crazy.
I don't know. I can't imagine that the NHL would go backwards on their TV, though. They've come so far. I can't imagine they go backwards.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to talk about.
2-0 Canucks, by the way, if you're wondering.
Perfect. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, but we haven't had the show to talk about. Well, I said no offer sheets were happening. You thought maybe there would be, and then there was. The offer sheet from Carolina Hurricanes to the Montreal Canadiens for Kotkaniemi, a 1-year deal, 6.1 million, $15, and a $20 signing bonus. And a tweet that matched the exact same tweet as the offer sheet for Sebastian Aho. What in the hell?
It was super petty.
Did you not think it was great, though?
It was great, yeah. I mean, it...
It was entertainment for us. I mean, it gave us something to talk about.
I'm definitely going to probably watch the next Carolina-Montreal game. That's for sure.
I know. You know what? We better pull that up on our calendars. That's going to be a good one.
Kotkaniemi is going to get the brakes boot off him when he goes past Montreal.
You know what, though? He got freaking sat in the playoffs, and I would be middle finger in the air if I was him.
Here's the thing, though. Kotkaniemi is getting offered 2.5 over, 3 years. If you get a 1-year, $6 million contract thrown in your face, what are you going to say, no?
Exactly.
No shot. I'm saying no. I'm 21 years old. I'm gonna get paid $6 million a season.
Yeah,
way overpaid. Which tells me that Kotkaniemi has a multi-year deal with Carolina in place for a lower AAV. Oh. They're gonna say, okay, we paid you $6 million, $4 million, what you are actually worth.
Well, they're probably taking the thing as all right, we'll waste $3 million. Just on the fact of doing this.
Right.
And then we're going to pay him $3.5 million for the next 4 years after this.
Right.
$3.5 million for 4 more years.
And then if you're Montreal, it's like, or if you're Carolina, is Kotkaniemi really worth a first and third?
No, Montreal's going to win on this.
If you're Montreal, I mean, you take and run with it.
I know, but it still has got to piss you off.
It's tough to lose a 21-year-old center who hasn't reached his full potential, 100%. But, I mean, if Montreal got offered a first and a third in a trade for Kotkaniemi, I think they would seriously consider it.
I don't know how you don't. I mean,
it's just, I don't, the thing that, I think it was the right decision not to match it, but what they used the money towards to replace Kotkaniemi, I was like, I don't know. They went out and got Christian Dvorak.
I don't know if I like that deal.
He's his career high on points is 37.
I know.
You trade a first and a second for him, the better of the two firsts. So what if that picks? What if that's a lottery pick?
It's gonna be.
You gave up a lottery pick for Christian Dvorak?
It's gonna be a lottery pick. I thought that was a horrible trade.
Yeah, I don't know. It very interesting. It was petty on Carolina's part, but yeah, it was a lot of fun
and highly entertaining.
I was actually on my way to BC driving with my dad, and I'm like, "You're not gonna believe what just happened." Like, what happened? Like, Kakane just got offshoot. Like, this is like. Montreal is not matching this. She's like, well, they got to match that. I was like, there's no chance Montreal is matching this deal.
Okay.
There's no chance.
Speaking of this, I just thought of something. Do you think there's any chance that somebody floats an offer sheet to Brady Tkachuk?
Everybody keeps asking me that Pedersen's going to get offer sheeted. If one of those guys is going to get offer sheeted, I think it would already happen already.
I don't.
Okay.
I think there's a better chance of it now than ever. But the only thing that these teams have going for them is there's hardly any teams that could afford to do it because you have to have that cap space available.
Okay. Ottawa, let's just look at people that can afford to offer sheet. The Rangers, maybe. None of those players are going to go there. Arizona, no. Columbus, no.
Pedersen would go there in a heartbeat.
Where? Arizona?
No, to the Rangers.
Oh, I don't know. Anaheim, but they got to pay their young kids right away. Devils, no. Detroit, no. Buffalo, no. Ottawa, no. Like, dude. First, you got to look at two things. A, do they have the cap? And B, do they have the appropriate picks to do that?
So what if Detroit offer-sheeted Hughes?
Yeah, the player's got to sign that.
I completely agree, Blake, and I'm not doing this to piss you off. I'm just saying. Or
they
what
have
about
no chance to pick Hughes? They picked Philip Zadina.
Well, I know. Now they could have both.
Garbage.
What about this? What if New Jersey offer-sheeted Hughes?
Okay, what's next topic? We're not, dude. Not happening.
Are you gonna die if that happens tomorrow?
It's not gonna happen.
Season 4, episode 1, and Blake's already been
killer. 3-0, baby.
All right, Seattle Kraken prepare for their inaugural season. We talked a little bit about it with the preseason.
Yeah.
Will it be a success?
Well, if I was you, I would pick them to do well because Vegas actually made you look silly.
They made everybody look silly, Blake. Don't give me this crap that I was the only person that said Vegas is going
to
suck.
You still have to get a Vegas jersey if I remember it correctly. I'll have to go back in the archives and check
out. That's in there. There's a bunch of archives I could pull up on you, though, too. Do you know, can you name me the top 5 most successful teams in their inaugural season?
Vegas.
Yeah, that's number one.
Top 5.
Yep.
Winnipeg when they came back.
That's not.
Oh, does that count?
No, it's a team that moved.
Oh, true.
It's inaugural season, like a startup team.
Expansion teams.
I'll let you off your misery here. Number 2 is Florida. Number 3 was Philadelphia. Number 4 was Hartford. Number 5 was L.A. All right.
Well, yeah, because L.A. got Gretzky, right?
No, they got Gretzky like freaking 10 years later.
Oh. Okay.
69. Hell, well, more than 10 years later. Right? Yeah,
69. Oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't know they'd been in the league that long.
All right. The NHL is said to be imposing stricter cross-checking enforcement. Will this happen? How long will it last?
Well, I hope it doesn't happen because that means we're going to get one-arm cross-checks. We're doing that, too?
What do you mean? Like, guys going like this?
You blow on somebody, you get a penalty now. So, league is so soft. You literally tap somebody on the stick, you get a slashing penalty. The standard to be a ref, it's lower than ever because they just get told to call everything. Like,
I disagree.
A couple preseason games here coming up, but I'm sure there's okay, prime example yesterday, Seattle scored 4 or 5 on the power play.
Yeah, I know. Like Edmonton had 7 power plays.
So listen to this. Like, first 2 BCHL games, there was 25 penalties in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like half the game is...
It always starts though like that. The seasons always start like that, and then
man, it's like...
2 weeks in, it peters away, though.
Half the game, you're in the box.
I know. 2 weeks in, it peters away. It does it every freaking year. They do this every year.
Man, I don't know.
2 things I didn't really want to talk about on the show, but we will talk about them for under 5 minutes. What's your opinion on the Eichel situation? Shouldn't he be allowed to do the surgery he wants to do?
I'm sure Jack Eichel was really not expecting to get stripped from the captain. Like, I think that was a surprise to him.
Like, he won't play another game in Buffalo.
What is Buffalo even doing stripping him of captaincy? Wait till after you trade the guy.
Well, obviously you wouldn't be captain then, Blake. But I mean, what are you doing? Where are we going? So now we're just going to sit all year and fiddle fart and argue about if this surgery is the right surgery? And okay, so what are we doing?
If you were Jack Eichel and you wanted – if I was Jack Eichel and I wanted to get a surgery that fixes me up and so I don't have a risk of a reoccurring injury on my neck, but – the team I'm playing for wants me to get a lesser surgery, and I have a chance to re-aggravate that injury in the future, but that team wants to trade you and is not going to allow you to get the surgery that you want. What team is going to take Jack Eichel right now for the price that they want when they don't even know he's healthy?
What?
He's going to miss half the year,
his Brad. Asking price has got to be at an all-time low right now. Like, Buffalo's got to be like...
Oh, it's at an all-time high.
I know, but they're not even going to get close to it. They're not even going to get close to it.
I would trade a first-round pick and 2 prospects. That's it.
I wouldn't even do that. I'd do a first-round pick and 1 prospect.
I don't know what they're doing.
So Buffalo's just going to keep paying them this money and not have them play. They've got... Something's going to have to happen.
Why are they not letting him get the surgery in the first place?
I have no idea. I listened to the 31 Thoughts episode where they talked to the doctors. It just changed. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. I know it was a one-sided podcast. I mean, and even Elliot and them said that. I mean, but it's still, it's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer.
What is Buffalo's hold up here? Why? You want to get the most for your player. Go let him get the surgery that he wants. The quicker that he does it, the quicker that he comes back. He's going to miss half the season. He's getting neck surgery.
Yeah. Makes
he's
no sense.
He's going to be out till Christmas.
One other unmentionable I didn't want to talk about, we have to, though, is this Evander Kane situation. Does this guy just need to be out of the league? He always says, none of this happens, none of this happens. Yes, Evander, it does. How about the unpaid parking tickets in Winnipeg? Because you didn't think you had to pay for them.
Hotels that he hasn't been paid.
He's a jackwagon.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
unreal. He's an embarrassment.
It's tough.
What's tough? Like, this guy is a joke. And
that's what I'm saying. Like, he's such a talented player, though. Too. It's just like it's unfortunate that he has to be this kind of person. I mean, he had 50 points in 56 games last year. Like, he's still a really good player in the league.
Yeah.
But he's just a dickhead.
Huh. That sums that one up. You ready for 3 questions, Blake?
Yeah, let's fire it up.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right, Blake, 3 questions. My favorite part of the show. You get to start it off this week. You get to do the three questions. I'll be back next week to do my three questions. Fire away. Go.
Okay, so Josh Archibald, who is a fourth liner in the NHL, is going to miss up to 30 games if he doesn't get vaccinated. What is he thinking here? Like,
it's his prerogative, Blake. You can't judge a guy for that.
I don't understand a player in his position. If he gets cut, he's not, like, people aren't dying to pick up Josh Archibald. Like, I don't understand.
Personal choice.
So you're going to just, like, give up your career?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's a personal choice. I it's his decision to make.
All right. Okay, what team had the best NHL offseason?
You know, I've thought a lot about that, and that's hard. Because what we think today might look really stupid a month from now. I think Philadelphia got better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rangers got better.
You knew who had a really good offseason, too?
I think... God, don't... This is so yet to be determined, though, because I think Vancouver got better.
Oh, the 100% they got better.
If they get those other guys signed, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You knew who got a lot better and might be a sneaky team this year? The Chicago Blackhawks.
I knew you were going to say that. And I'm not buying in on that yet.
They're getting Taze back. They're getting Seth Jones. And you add a Vezina winner, Marc-Andre Fleury.
They're definitely better.
That's been the problem since Corey Crawford had those injury problems. Like, what are they doing in that? They go get Fleury now. Albeit it might be only for 1 year, but this year, they might be a playoff team.
They might.
I don't know.
I like them better than St. Louis.
Yeah, I like them better than Nashville, Arizona, and Minnesota.
Yeah, well, I don't know what. Yeah, I can't argue that.
That leaves you Winnipeg, Dallas, and the Avalanche.
Yep.
So.
That's a team that got better, that's for sure. Definitely.
I don't know. Okay, last question. What remaining UFA are you surprised that is still available?
I don't even know, Blake. Devin Dubnyk, because I thought somebody would pick him up for a backup. Is that terrible? Dubnyk. Just because I know how goalies are, and, like, I can't believe a team wasn't like, pick this guy up for $750,000.
I'm not going to say Tuukka Rask, because I think once he's healthy, he's going to sign a cheap deal in Boston.
That's almost a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, I just look at, like, a guy, I mean, there's nobody big named UFA that's, like, I'm surprised.
Even, like, Jason Demers is still a solid defenseman, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. And he'll probably get signed.
Who else? Zajac retired.
There's really nobody else.
Abby Vatanen still unsigned.
See, that's one I can't believe.
Like, how this guy hasn't landed somewhere, it's actually crazy. I don't know.
He must have a really short list.
What about Tyler Bozak?
Tell me
there's not room on a $750,000 contract for a fourth line for Bozak? Guy that is excellent in the dot and kills penalties? There's not a spot in the league for a guy like that? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Like, not even a PTO even. Like, I don't understand that at all. Guys won a Stanley Cup? Like,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, Devin Dubnyk, like you mentioned. Did James Neal sign a PTO?
Yeah, he's in freaking. He scored 3 goals for St. Louis last night.
He did?
Yeah. Oh, he does that every preseason, Blake.
He's gonna score 40 goals this year now.
He does that. No, he does it every preseason. He did it in Edmonton. He did it in Calgary. He does it every preseason. He did it in Dallas, too.
I know you like this guy in Calgary. What do you think of Toby Reeder?
I loved him.
Great penalty killer.
I loved that guy. When they didn't re-sign him last year, I was freaking pissed.
Yeah.
I was pissed. He got 2 years, though, in Buffalo, didn't he? He's got a year left.
No, it says he's a free agent.
Well, maybe with these condensed seasons. I know he signed a two-year deal.
Alex Chiasson.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Pete Canucks,
Alex Chiasson, yeah. I hate that guy.
I mean, hey, if Patterson don't start the year at the team, they're going to need some centers.
Oh, God, are you serious? Is Vancouver really going to let that happen?
I hope not. I really do. I hope not. But, I mean, you gotta prepare for that possibility because season's right around the corner. And they're not in camp, so.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
You do. All right, Blake, got a listener question for you. And it's really not a listener question. It's a question I came up with. And I found it this summer, and I thought it was really fitting for you. And, Would you rather... What?
All right. One of these questions, all right.
All right. Would you rather have Carey Price's career or would you rather have Marc-Andre Fleury's career?
In terms of what?
Their career. Would you rather, think about it, when they walk away from the game, which of those two would you rather be?
Are we looking at all? Are we looking at
everything?
Body of work?
Everything, yes. Their career, Blake. Everything.
Well, if you just look at it, Fleury's got the cups,
yeah,
right. But Carey Price has two Olympic golds, World Cup, World Junior. He's got a Calder Cup. Carey Price has basically won everything except a Stanley Cup. I mean.
So I'm saying, would you trade the Stanley Cups for that other stuff?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Price's career, honestly.
I would never trade a Stanley Cup for anything.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
And I think more people would agree with me on that one.
Fleury's cups, though, he wasn't even the goalie.
What? What did you just say?
Two of Fleury's cups that he won, he wasn't even the goalie.
I know, but...
So, that really, like... Yeah, Fleury's a three-time Stanley Cup champ, but he was only the starting guy for one of them. You know what I mean? Like, it still goes on your resume, sure, three-time Stanley Cup champion, but, I mean, there's a big asterisk next to that for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Carey Price, everything that he won that I just mentioned, Olympics, World Cup of Hockey, World Juniors, he was the guy. You know what I mean? Like, Fleury kind of rode Matt Murray's coattails there a little bit.
Oh, I know, but I still don't think they would have got there without Fleury. I don't think you could argue that one with me.
100%. But, I mean, like, Murray was the guy. It was the net when they won.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
So.
All right, man. Another episode in the book, season 4 underway. Yeah.
It's good.
Next week, we're back. Back with another live episode, and next week's one of Blake and I's favorite episodes. Because you know what we do? We do 10 crazy predictions. Blake gets 10 that he thinks will happen during the year. I have 10 that I think will happen during the year. We'll reveal those, and it is always a lot of fun, and usually some of our predictions are flat out crazy, hilarious, I don't know. They're everything. We're back the following week with our favorite show of the year, Prediction Show. Can't get better than that. Thanks for everybody tonight who joined in live. And, each week, hopefully more and more people pick it up and find it on social media and join us. And, it's always fun. We'll get some listener questions over the year, and that should be a good time, too. Make sure you check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. And, of course, get on over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, subscribe, do all those things. Check out the new website at debatehockey.com. We're back next week. Another week of preseason hockey. We're back to talk hockey next week. See you then. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars underscore Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.